We're very pleased to continue our study in the book of Genesis today. We're still in the third chapter, and last time we just started the first verse of the third chapter. So let's read that first verse again. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The serpent was a beast of the field. He was an animal that was evidently very attractive, and probably had beautiful colors and smooth, graceful movements. This animal, the serpent, was more clever than any beast of the field. This animal probably did not have the same exact body as snakes we know today at the time that it approached Eve. There was an evil spirit using the serpent's body. It's very apparent that there is much more to this incident than a simple fable about a talking snake. The Bible identifies that old serpent as the devil himself. In Revelation 12 and 9, And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Here we see that the devil and Satan are referred to as that old serpent. Again, Revelation 20, verse 2, And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So the Bible clearly identifies the devil and Satan as being that old serpent. The devil is a being who has led a rebellion against God and his plans for mankind throughout the ages. Among the things created in the universe, a great host of angels, the word meaning messengers, were created, probably on the first day of creation. Their purpose was to serve God around his throne. They had various ranks and positions of authority, known as principalities and powers, according to Ephesians 6 and Colossians 2:15. It seems that the most prominent of these created spirit beings was one called Lucifer, and the word means day star. We read about this in Isaiah 14:12-15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This passage in Isaiah 14 is speaking about the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. It tells of his entry into hell. But many Bible scholars feel this passage is also speaking about Satan, calling him Lucifer. Although we cannot be positive that this passage is talking about Satan, there are some things said which are difficult to apply strictly to the king of Babylon. We learn from this passage, Lucifer fell from heaven. Lucifer desired to ascend into heaven and exalt his throne above the stars of God, and he desired to be like the Most High, that is, like God himself. If these statements can be applied to Satan, then we can see that he had a conflict with God since he wanted to have the power of God. This desire to rise higher than God allowed would account for the fact that he had fallen from heaven, how he was cut down to the ground. After being cast out of heaven, he was evidently allowed to continue to exist and functions as an enemy to humans. This spirit known as Satan was also addressed in Ezekiel 28, verses 11 through 19. Let me read that passage. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealeth up the sum, full wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. This passage was written about the king of Tyre, but some of the statements cannot apply to someone who was a mortal, typical man. He states that this being had been in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. This passage speaks of the day that thou was created. He was a created being, not an earthly human prince. This creature had even been found in the Garden of Eden. We know that the only spirit beings in that garden, besides God, were Adam, Eve, and Satan. Ezekiel is obviously not talking about Adam and Eve, but that leaves just only one other created creature then, Satan, to whom Ezekiel is speaking. The next verses 14 and 15, help to verify this conclusion. He says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Ezekiel 28:14-15. No mortal man could have been the anointed cherub which had covered God's throne. No mere man could have walked in the midst of the stones of fire which are a part of it. Ezekiel 1:4. No man walked in God's holy mountain. Only one very special created being could be described here, the cherub who covered the Most High with his golden wings as God sat upon his throne. But what does Ezekiel say will happen to this covering cherub, this most beautiful creature who has occupied a very special place in heaven? Ezekiel 28:16. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. What happened to change this perfect and marvelous form cherub? What did he do to provoke such horrible wrath from God? Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Ezekiel 28:17. Satan had occupied at one time the highest and most cherished position in heaven. He had been God's covering cherub, the most beautiful creature ever created, adorned with vestments and covered with precious stones. But Satan, the covering cherub, was not content with his high place in heaven. He was so impressed with his own beauty, his own intellect, his own power, all of which were gifts given him by his Creator, that he imagined himself to be above God. He conspired to take the place of the very one who had created him. Satan was so persuasive that he actually convinced other angels in heaven to join his rebellion. Matthew 25:41. There he talks about Satan and his angels. This teaches us that even the angels have a free will and are capable of deciding whom they will follow, God or Satan. Man must make this very same decision. We also have a free will, capable of making a choice between good and evil. We can choose to rebel against God just as Satan did, but just as Satan cannot succeed, we cannot succeed. Just as Satan must pay the price for rebellion, so must we pay a price, a very high price. Just as God's wrath was directed against Satan, it can be directed against us. We are free to make the choice. We are like Satan in that we must eventually suffer the consequences of that choice if we make the wrong choice. Let's notice here some facts about Satan now that we've learned. He was a high holy angel. He was created along with all other angels when the universe was created, probably created on the first day of creation. He was perfect from the beginning until iniquity was found in him, Ezekiel 28:15. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, but his heart was lifted up because of his beauty, and he became unwise. His wisdom was corrupted because of his brightness or his splendor, Ezekiel 28:17. He would, because of his sin, be cast out of the mountain of God, Ezekiel 28:16. He will eventually be destroyed, Ezekiel 28:16. There it says, I will destroy thee. Verse 18 says, a fire shall devour thee. And verse 19 says, never shalt thou be any more. But because he still lives today, his destruction is not complete at this time, but will come at the end of time. Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This passage, Matthew 25:41, tells us that there are angels known as the devil's angels. They evidently rebelled with him. They will be cast into everlasting fire. This fire was not originally intended for humans. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. The original plan of God did not require any human to perish. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is unhappy with all angels who have sinned. They will be judged. In 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." God has allowed Satan to have a certain amount of power. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is called the god of this world. Satan is now allowed to rule in this world according to the power given him by God. In Luke 4:5-6, when tempting Christ in the wilderness, "And the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Ephesians 2:2, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Satan is the enemy of humans. In 1 Peter 5:8-9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." He quickly used his skill to tempt Eve, as told in Genesis 3. He worked hard to turn Job against God. We learn some amazing things as we read about Satan, how he went about to ruin Job in Job 1:6-12. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Satan is constantly working against the followers of God. Revelation 12:9-10, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." That old serpent, called the devil and Satan, deceiveth the whole world. He's the accuser of our brethren, and he accused them before our God day and night. In the case of Peter, in Luke 22:31-32, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Satan's power is temporary. Again, we read in Luke 10, verses 17 through 18. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Jesus made this statement as he was drawing near to the time of his crucifixion. 2 Thessalonians 2:8-9. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and which shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Here he's speaking of the time when the apostate church came into power. Again in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, we wonder, how do we deal with this evil creature? How do we deal with the devil? 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye steadfast in the faith? James 4:7, Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And as Jesus said in Mark 8:33, Get thee behind me, Satan. And we learn more about how to deal with Satan today as we read from Ephesians 6:10-17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having with the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As we learn these things about the devil, we see that this is a very serious matter for us today. We deal with Satan every day of our lives, and it only puts us at a very definite disadvantage if we do not realize this fact, if we're not ever alert to the fact that Satan's working on us and Satan wants us to become displeasing to God. He doesn't have to work very hard on the non-Christian. He already has them as his servants, but he does not want us to please God, as in the case of Job, do anything that he can to cause us to become unhappy with our situation and our spiritual lives. He wants us to turn against God. He wants us to be displeasing to God, and he uses all the methods at his disposal to do that. The devil is very crafty and subtle. He does not announce that he is the devil. He does not announce that he wants us to do something wrong and become displeasing to God. He does not give us any real warning to the fact that he's working against our very best interests, but he's crafty and subtle so that he takes us unaware. He's a liar. He's very deceptive. He'll tell any kind of a lie, he'll give any kind of a deception, just to make you think that he is doing something to make you better, to enhance you, to give you some pleasure, to do something that you will want to do. He can trap us or snare us if we are not vigilant and sober. Just as God has a plan for salvation, Satan also has a plan for our destruction. God has worked hard to make this plan for salvation. He has made one that is a perfect plan. It will bring about salvation if we will simply follow his plan, but we have to realize that Satan also has a plan for our destruction. Satan has made a counterfeit religion. He's made a counterfeit religion which is very closely similar to the religion that God would have us to follow. And if we simply allow Satan's religion to come in so that we think we're following God when we're not, we think we're doing the very thing that God wants, but we've had a few minor changes made so that it is not valid now, this is what Satan wants. He has a plan for our destruction. And false religion is one of his tools. Just a small change in God's word can make our action unacceptable to God. We must also realize that Satan has many tools, many weapons at his disposal, whereby he can trap us. In the area of entertainment, for example, we must not let ourselves be entertained by such programs that have corrupt thoughts, things that have sexual references or sexual jokes that are designed to bring our thoughts to something that's wrong, to something that would be sinful or against the will of God. We must not approve of things that takes where the name of God is taken in vain. It seems today that many of the programs that are available to entertain persons, it's real common to take God's name in vain. We're forgetting the fact that God's displeased with this, that God will condemn us for this. In the area of lust, the sexual temptations, we're constantly in positions where we see people who are improperly dressed. They dress in such a way to provoke sexual thoughts and sexual desires. We must also be very aware of the fact that we should not pollute our bodies with these drugs that should not be there, drugs that are taken for entertainment, drugs that pervert our minds and thoughts and our ability to make proper decisions. And one of the most effective weapons of Satan is to simply have us into a position where we only associate with those who know not God, who have the habits and customs that are contrary to godly ways, contrary to the things that would be pleasing to God. And when we associate with these evil companions long enough and continually enough, then we tend to become like them. So let's be ever cautious of the fact that this same Satan that brought about sin to Adam and Eve is still working on us today with all the weapons, all the ability that he's ever had. That's our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.